This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
This could actually make mix number one. Do enjoy. This is my favorite Beach Boys song.
Oh, man. God Only Knows is mine, but this is up there.
I like God Only Knows, too.
It's a great one.
We actually agree on something musically.
Oh, it makes me weep.
Maybe the best two Beach Boys songs.
It makes me weep every time. It's so good. But I like this one, too. It puts me in a good mood.
Ben strikes me as a California
girls
guy.
Yeah. You like the
hits. I wish they all could be.
No. You know what he is? He's a Kokomo guy.
Yeah,
that's what he is. Way down to Kokoruba.
I do like songs that list place names.
Yeah. Oh, my. It's a
Heart of Rock and Roll.
Heart of Rock and Roll. Yeah.
Kokomo. Yeah. But the better Beach Boys was all the beaches is... Surfing USA.
That's a great one.
I like that.
Santa No for Surfing USA.
Down in La Jolla. Yeah.
He loves it. Oh, he
catch
just
surfing in Del Mar. All the places I knew. And like, they're singing about all these places.
I've been in Phoenix, Arizona, all the way to Tacoma.
God. Yeah. What song is that? Jet Airliner? Steve Miller?
No, that one is...
Yeah, that's Jet Airliner.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
Man. Kokomo, though, that's your jam.
Yeah.
You know.
Place names in songs get me almost every time.
That's absolutely unbelievable. It's so weird.
That's one of the things I like about Smooth Operator.
He likes maps. He likes maps a lot.
So I do.
It does make sense. I was actually
reading. You know, we talked earlier this year about raw dogging flights. People who
scare me to death.
People who just sit and watch.
How come I get my hand slapped after shows?
I'm so glad you added the word flights to
me
the end
and
of that
you
sentence.
Both.
Jesus.
People who just watch the map and don't look at their phones, don't read, don't watch movies.
They just
movies.
Stare straight ahead.
They stare at the map at the back of the seat on the screen in front of them. And I was just reading this morning on The Ringer. They said, it's surprising that more than 50% of people, more than 50% of the time on flights actually have the map up. It's actually fairly common. I love staring at the maps on flights.
I can't do it.
Like, I can do it for not the whole flight, obviously, but I almost have it on like the whole time because I like to know exactly where we are. And I just think it's really neat to be able to see where you are over the country or wherever you're going. Like, ooh, look, I can look down and I'm over New Mexico right now.
Simple kid.
You are such a... It gives me anxiety because if I'm flying and I have that feeling, it's like being in class. Remember when you were in class, you're like, don't look at the clock, dude. Mm-hmm. You know you're getting close to recess or gym or lunch or something you were looking forward to. Don't look at the clock. got to be getting close. You look, you're like, oh my God, 56 minutes left, right? And you feel like you have a good sense of time. Then you get on a plane, you're like, we got to be getting close. And you're a quarter of the way. Like when we went to Hawaii last year, bro, I put the map up once and was like, ah.
You're much antsier than
yes,
I am, though.
Much.
I am definitely a getting there is half the fun.
Not on an airplane with two demon seats.
Well, maybe not with the kids, but I do enjoy the process of getting there quite a bit.
I don't mind it, but looking at the map gives me anxiety because I'm never far enough along. Never. I'm never like, oh, we're almost there.
I like the slow, steady progression.
Pace of it.
Just the very predictable continuation of the flight.
I like to play poker on the game in front of me. That's what I did pretty much the entire way to Hawaii. So that was good.
Can you play with real money or just for fun?
No, it's the airline version.
It's not.
They have the funny cartoon faces and
just on the screen.
Yeah, on the screen. Yeah. All in, all in, all in, all in, all in.
Lots of consequences.
Yeah, it's free money. Oh, that's great. All right, Paulie, take it away.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right, indeed.
Gentlemen, it was a slow sports day yesterday.
Yeah, it was. Hence the reading of the Boogie Nights oral history that went down. I actually tried to watch some NBA last night, and it didn't grab me.
NBA Cup?
Yeah. Didn't grab me.
Yeah.
So I went to Boogie Nights.
Well, no NBA scores or anything like that in the Rhino Report this morning. I guess sports media news. Sometimes we do talk about that.
Yep.
Stephen A. Smith is reportedly close to a new contract extension with ESPN. And Front Office Sports is reporting that it looks like he will be the first ESPN talent to reach a $100 million deal. $20 million a year at least for 5 years. It does say that, quote, issues to be resolved still. I don't know if that's just dotting I's and crossing T's, but Stephen A. Smith, I mean, look, ESPN's not going to let him go anywhere.
$100 million.
That's a lot
of
money.
Are we doing the same job? That's what I want to know. Is it possible to be that valuable as a media personality where you're making $20 million a year?
Currently, he's making 12 a year.
Spew sports opinions. I get it. He's got a bigger audience, which is great.
Yeah.
But is it really that valuable to ESPN, that valuable to pay that much money to have Stephen A. Smith? And I'm not trying to install. I like Stephen A. I think he's pretty talented.
I'd say that. It's been a while.
Thank you for that.
I'm just a little curious. You know, there was a controversy a couple of days ago about the movie Wicked. Did you see this?
I did not see the controversy.
Where there was accusations that Ariana Grande and the other co-star were making not the same amount of money.
Never mind, I thought you were on something else.
And I forget what her name is. She plays the Wicked Witch, the green, and then there's Ariana Grande, who's the Good Witch. Now, Ariana Grande is a fairly large name. Her co-star, though, I had never heard of her.
Okay.
It's not offensive to think that two different people would be paid differently for the same job.
Correct.
But people were saying that would be an outrage. They're both acting. They're, like, on screen the same amount. They should make the exact same amount. But obviously, people with bigger names and bigger reputations
get more money.
And they were quick to deny. Oh, no, no. We would never do that. We wouldn't pay two different actors a different rate for the same work. But that happens all the time.
All the time. All the time.
If that was true, then we should all be making $20 million a year. Because
right.
We're doing essentially the same work as Stephen A. Smith.
I'd say our job's even harder.
Probably is.
So, minus the probably.
How many hours is First Take? 2 hours?
Yeah. We get a four-hour show.
Well, and
it's not offensive.
$40 million
he has a
each.
National palate. We have a local palate.
Right.
It's way different.
Yeah.
I want a raise. I think that's what it all boils down to.
I just don't think that, you know, whatever it is Stephen A. Smith, you know, 200 times more talented than we are? No. Probably not. No. I'll do the job half as well as Stephen A. Smith for a
tenth of it.
For a hundredth of the money.
Yeah, no doubt.
Will you yell and scream like Stephen A. Smith for a segment?
Why not?
Do a whole Ben Stephen A. Smith. I can't.
I need to get in the mood. But.
Yeah. That's a lot of scratch. How do you, again, I guess clearly he creates enough revenue somehow to justify it, because you're not going to give a guy $20 million a year if he brings in six.
So he's making 12 now. In June, it was reported that he had turned down 18 a year. He's going to get that 20.
I mean, it's the same thing with professional athletes. You know, the money seems insanely huge, but people are paying it because they feel like, well, they can justify it. They're making that money back somehow.
I'm reading about more of the ESPN talent, and the one I think is maybe the most egregious would probably be Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. 5-year deal worth $90 million, $18 million a year. They call
what,
16 games a year?
One a week.
One a week?
Yeah.
And I like Joe Buck. I think he's good.
I like them together.
I think they're a great team.
If Joe Buck
on Monday
left,
Night Football,
none of us would ever watch football again.
See,
correct?
That's just not true.
Is anybody only watching Monday Night Football because, like, you're only watching First Take in the morning because you like Stephen?
Because you like Stephen,
or you're hate watching, I guess.
Yeah.
But like, you're gonna watch Monday Night Football regardless of who's broadcasting.
You hate Joe Davis and John Smoltz.
Yes, I still watched
and
every
you
game.
Still watched.
Yes.
They could literally pay someone minimum wage to do the job that you probably would like more.
And, which is, by the way,
Buck and Aikman don't really do anything else for ESPN.
Right.
Stephen A. Smith's
The thing is, like, look, you know, not to take shots at our business, but that radio did that 20 years ago. They decided, I'm not going to invest in personalities anymore. Let's get somebody in here. We'll play 60 songs an hour. And they just stopped investing in personalities. You would shudder to know what morning show hosts with the ratings that we have used to make in 1995. And it wasn't six figures. It was seven figures. That thought keeps me up at night.
Yeah, I
seven figures for this gig.
I don't like to talk money, and I'm doing fine. I'm not complaining. But I make less at Channel 10 than my predecessor made 20 years ago.
Correct.
After being there for 20 years.
Correct.
He was there for like five.
Right.
And I still don't make what he makes.
Correct.
The money has gone way down
way
in
down.
Our business.
Way
we
down.
Missed it.
Yeah, we
missed the gravy
we missed
train.
The window.
Same with morning radio.
Yep.
We missed the giant gravy train. Now,
correct.
Were they making too much? You could argue maybe.
Yep.
Are we making too little? I would argue yes.
See, like,
but
that's
the reality.
And Curtis says, hey, Adam, I'll do this for minimum wage. That's the thing.
Yep.
That happens in our business, too.
All the time.
All the time.
Then I will do Joe Buck's job, probably for minimum wage as well.
And yeah.
I wouldn't be as good as Joe Buck.
No.
But I'd be fine.
But you'd be fine.
I'd be fine. You'd still watch football if I was calling it on Fox.
Yep.
Promise you that.
I would like that.
So you mentioned Wicked, and before that we were talking about flying on airplanes. I had heard a story. So Bowen Yang, he's on Saturday Night Live cast. He's in that movie. They filmed during the SNL season, I think probably last year, and Lorne Michaels has a policy that, like, during the season of SNL, you don't do other side projects. You cannot do it. Sorry. Do it during the summer, doing it during off time. You cannot do it during the season, even though it's only Saturday night. Obviously, they have the table reads and everything throughout the week. Ariana Grande needed him in this movie. She called Lorne Michaels personally, like, set up a meeting, and basically begged him to let Bowen Yang do this. He said, okay. So for I don't know how many weeks or months, but Bowen Yang during production would do Saturday Night Live on Saturdays, get on a plane, fly to London, I think, over the Atlantic Ocean, work for 4 days, fly back, do the next week's SNL. And he did that every week for however long.
That's insane.
I don't know that I could do that.
I couldn't either.
You get the sense that Lorne Michaels, who sometimes appears on Saturday Night Live, is like sneaky the most like power mad person in Hollywood.
Yeah, like drunk with power.
Yeah.
A lot of
rules to follow.
100%.
Yeah. All right, next up. Couldn't remember if we talked about this. Kyrie Irving is being sued by his like family therapist for over $400,000.
Huh.
could have been a DDT. So the suit was filed in New York on Monday. And Natasha McCartney is the name of the woman, the therapist. She's suing him for about $400,000.
Wow.
He was, or she was hired by Kyrie Irving to run a 150-person family retreat in North Dakota this past summer.
Okay.
And costs ballooned to well over like $400,000. She hasn't been paid.
Oh, you didn't pay.
The guest list tripled on her. Ooh. One attendee died.
Oh.
I don't know if that was because of the activities at summer camp or, you know, they just
sometimes
had
people
a heart
just
attack.
Die.
Come on,
yeah.
It's not always your fault.
But that, I mean, you, if you're running a camp and somebody dies, like, you have to deal with all of that. So she was hired to do, it was this like summer camp that, I don't know if it was his family or he was hosting a family event.
Right.
150 plus people. She was going to do meditation sessions, foot baths, life readings, etc. And she has not been paid. She's been working with Kyrie Irving since 2020.
Damn.
But she is owed like $400,000 and has not been paid. So now Kyrie's getting sued for that.
He's in arrears.
That's a funny word.
You got to pay your debts.
Arrears.
Arrears.
Suing for breach of contract, fraud, unjust enrichment, and seeking damages, including the missed payment plus interest costs and the legal fees.
Mm.
The suit claims that Irving told her the retreat would be 50 to 60 people, jumped up to 115 a week before it began, and then when she showed up, 150 people there.
Good God.
I don't think Kyrie is necessarily a bad guy,
right,
but I don't necessarily feel he lives on the same planet as the rest of
that's
us
true.
Sometimes.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that can lead to problems
things
when
like
you
this.
Deal with other people.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair assessment.
You should make $20 million a year for that assessment.
You got to scream.
Scream.
That assessment.
That's right.
Not a bad guy, just not quite living on the same planet as the rest of
us. You got to use really big words.
Which is a lot. It's a lot of celebrities, too, I think. They're in a different world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The best are celebrity. The celebrities who do live on planet Earth with
us.
Yes,
the best. The Keanu Reeves of the world.
So cool.
Yes, they're great.
Like Adam Sandler.
Yeah, yeah, just the regular people.
Just Paul Rudd is one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, they're cool, they're normal, but they're also super famous and rich.
And rich.
Love that.
All right, and finally, Miller High Life has a tradition that I either forgot or never knew about of every December coming out with dive bar themed items that you can purchase.
Okay.
And we've got this year's. In the past, they've done things like back in 2021, a dive bar scented candle.
Oh.
It's supposed to smell like a dive. I mean, I love a good dive bar.
I love a dive bar.
Not the smell, though.
They did.
No, I do.
Really? Dive bar flavored ice cream in the past. Last year, they did a dive bar scented bar light, which I don't even know how that works. Like a lamp.
I mean, we're talking about the scent of kind of stale beer,
stale
and a
beer,
little bit of smoke,
sticky
right?
Floor.
Trash, smoke, perfume. I love it.
You like that?
Oh, I love it.
I'm glad you said perfume because this year's item is barfume.
Mm.
Miller High Life Dive Barfume. It's a cologne that is supposed to smell like a dive bar. You put it on, people will ask, what were you doing last night?
Yeah, I went and blew it out last night.
It includes notes of leather, cedarwood, patchouli, sea salt, and tobacco. And it says here, it's meant to capture the smell of every familiar dive bar scent, from the satisfying crack of a freshly opened beer to the comforting, savory taste of classic bar snacks. They are selling just a limited number of bottles. It's $60 each for the bar fume. And they're doing drops today, tomorrow, and Friday. You got to go to their website to purchase.
I think I would buy that. I'm not going to, but I would.
See, to me, a good dive bar is good because of the personality.
Yes.
But not the actual scent.
The jukebox makes a dive bar great.
The people.
I love dive bars.
The champagne of colognes.
Yeah, the champagne of colognes.
A good worn bar stool,
yeah,
but still somewhat comfortable.
Yeah. Dark. It's got to be a little dark.
Yeah. But not the scent, necessarily. That's something you overcome.
No, I like it.
To enjoy the bar.
Imagine waking up, you know, 4 a.m., you take a shower, you throw on some Miller High Life bar cologne, dive bar cologne, and then you get pulled over on the drive into work, you know, for speeding or something. Good luck selling that one to the cop.
You're like,
you smell like a bar.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever done this. Throw it in the chat. San Diego's best dive bars. What are the places that you like to go And, you know, not fancy, but just your dive bar.
What's the place by the airport?
Aero Club.
My favorite.
It's a good one.
God, it's good.
Live Wire on El Cajon Boulevard.
Yep.
Good craft beer dive bar. The quality can still be good.
Soda bar was a blast.
You don't need...
That dive bar?
I wouldn't say that was hipster.
So, no, it was divey, though.
You think it's divey?
Yeah, I think so.
It's kind of one and the same.
Everyone's weighing in. Night Owl, Study, and El Cajon, Stoney's, Alibi, The Office. What's the places up by us? There's a couple.
Let's see. What's the one in Cardiff?
Yeah. In the strip mall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Place is scary.
As every good dive bar should be a little scary, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Lancers in North Park, been there. Lamplighter, been there. I've heard the Liars Club is a good
High
one.
Dive, that's a good one.
Why can't I think of the one in Cardiff? I'll come back with it. We're getting lots of suggestions.
Winston's in OB. Holy crap. Yeah, I love that place.
I think you just say OB in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Rockies, I don't know, the burger might be too good to be a dive bar.
Too good to be a dive bar.
OB is the dive bar of San Diego.
Yeah, which is great.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
So good.
Not an insult.
No, it's not the crack, the Kraken.
They were talking about the Kraken yesterday on Annie and Elston and Cougar Dens in North County.
Cougar Dens.
Cougar Dens.
Dens to find Cougars.
Jimmy O's.
Wow. Oh, Jimmy O's. Oh. Whew. We'll talk about it. It's a dark period.
I've had fun there.
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we need something to talk about, so bring some stories for us when we come back after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dive bar talk is going strong on our YouTube chat right now. Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Actually, when I went up to cover the Padres-Dodgers game, playoff game last month, first two games of the series, I was going with a couple of colleagues from Channel 10, younger than me, and we had to go somewhere for lunch. So I dragged them, saw a dive bar, we went, and usually it's, you know, food's pretty good, burgers are tasty. And it was a place just across the street off the freeway by Dodger Stadium. It's called The Office. Well, it seems like half of dive bars are called The Office.
Yeah, there's a really good one up there called The Shortstop.
That's the Shortstop?
Yeah, really divey, really, really good.
It's the toughest thing, though, is going in the first time to one you've never been to before. It's intimidating. You know, you have no idea how territorial, perhaps, the regulars are going to be.
True.
You get the look like, oh, who just... walked through the front door. We don't recognize that person.
It's not a Western.
It's a little bit of a Western. Yes,
you walk into the saloon
doors.
It's
a little bit of a Western. Everyone stops and looks and stares.
The scratch on the jukebox.
I get that feeling sometimes when you walk into a dive bar where you're not a regular customer.
But I don't go out much anymore, but when I did, that was where I would like to frequent dive bars. Big fan. Yeah, Chicago is world famous for them. I mean, they were open until 4 a.m. They closed for an hour and then reopen again. And those were some dark times, certainly, but fun at the time.
Did you work at an establishment like that? Closed at 4 a.m.?
No, those were like the liquor stores, but liquor stores also had a bar attached to them.
Oh, okay.
It was wild. Wild. When you're drinking Jack and Cokes at 6:30 a.m. on a Sunday, things aren't going well. For you. And if it happens more than a dozen times, they're really not going well for you.
Well, or you just worked a shift until, you know, 5 a.m. on Saturday, and you're unwinding at 6:30 a.m.
Can't remember the
name. There's a place in OB that opens at like 5 a.m. No. They close for just a couple of hours in the night, and they open super early. And I've been told, I've never gone that early, but like it is packed. At like 6 a.m., guys getting, you know, screwdrivers, Bloody Marys, and breakfast on their way to work. I'm like, oh, man, that's...
The soccer fans, they'll go out early.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and start...
Yeah, Shakespeare's, yep. Places that open early to watch English soccer on the weekends and serve plenty of ale.
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 Yes. We should meet for an ale soon. Frosty mug of ale. As excited as I am to go to England in July to see the concert, I am also as excited to go hang out in the pubs, the Irish pubs, the English pubs. I've already been scouting out locations and the best ones. I'm elated to do that.
When I went, the only time I covered the Chargers in London, and we were there for a week, and we were staying kind of in an Airbnb, early days of Airbnb. This was late 2000s. And the ground floor was like a pub.
So great.
Just go down there and
grab a beer.
And
we should go grab a glass of mead.
The one thing that I couldn't quite get over, though, is truly they don't drink their beer cold.
It's warmish.
It's not warm.
It's not
but
warm,
it,
but it's not.
It's
I like
certainly
it.
Not cold.
I like it.
You do like that.
I do like that, yeah.
I don't need it icy cold.
Because I don't like ice cold beer.
But I tend to, once at the end and it's starting to get, you know, the last few sips
it's
that are kind of
tough
warmed
to get
up a little
down.
Bit, I can't get those down.
The colder the better for me.
Yeah, I don't really like cold drinks. He's asking me where I'm staying. I'm staying in Manchester, so I will not be in London. I went to some pubs in London. It was, whatever. Manchester feels more pubby.
I think when you go to London, you know, this pub's been around since, 1543. And, this is hundreds of years older than my country. Then you feel like, okay, there's some history here.
Satan's Blowfish says, so you carry around a warm Dr. Pepper. Yes, I have. Absolutely. I don't mind. I don't mind warm drinks.
I'll drink room temperature water so I can get it down fast. But otherwise, I want my drinks
I like room temperature tea. I like room temperature soda. Doesn't
you don't want hot tea, cold tea? You just want room temperature tea.
I like them all. I like all of them.
Interesting.
Yeah. Let's go to break.
Different.
All right. Final break of the program. Annie and Elston coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. Wrap things up. Get you ready for the rest of your day here with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Feel like I feel bad because we talked about Blake Snell's birthday earlier. Boomer Esiason shouted him out.
We didn't know. He told us.
But it's also Joe Musgrove's birthday.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Happy birthday to Joe. Paul said he seemed to remember that the two of them shared a birthday.
Yeah, I think they talked about that at one point.
So December 4th. Happy birthday to both Joe Musgrove and Blake Snell.
But
rivals.
Mostly Joe Musgrove.
Mostly Joe Musgrove.
98% Joe Musgrove.
Yes, 2% Blake
2%
Snell.
Blake Snell.
How old is Joe now? 31?
A little bit older.
He was 32. So he was 31, now 32.
Okay. It's going to miss him in 25. I keep forgetting he's not going to throw for us in 20. Maybe the playoffs if we get there, potentially.
That's right. He'll be 33 probably before he throws another real pitch for the San Diego Padres.
The last time we saw or heard from him, that impromptu press conference in the dugout up at Dodger Stadium in the playoffs, it was like heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking.
You could just hear how the disappointment in his voice.
Yeah, it was so sad, dude.
Not only for missing next year, but for knowing that, like, that the team's going to take a hit now in this current series that we're in.
That was tough, dude. That was a tough one in the stomach.
I wonder how he's going to kind of handle the season. I mean, I have no doubt he's still going to be a big part of the Padres. Some guys, when they're rehabbing, it's kind of separate, and they keep their distance a little bit because they don't want to necessarily detract or take away some of the attention from the other players.
That's a tough one.
I can't imagine Joe's just going to disappear. He'll be around the team. He'll be with.
Out at Saquon, maybe.
See him at spring training, I would think, while he's working on rehab and stuff.
Of course. I think so.
Yeah.
But as far as the season goes, I don't know. I don't know how that works, necessarily.
It's different for everybody.
Was it
Clevinger that like traveled with the team like that whole year. He didn't want to miss any of it. Yeah. You don't typically see that a ton. He's obviously, I'm sure Joe would be welcome to, or he can stay home.
And, we would never see him.
Oh,
if I was rehabbing for
a
year.
If Ben had vocal cord surgery and was out for a year, he wouldn't just be sitting in the corner watching
the next time we saw him would be the first show he did with us, which would be a year later. We wouldn't see him for an entire year.
I'd be ready to go, though, when I came back.
Yeah, but like you wouldn't be here helping or like egging us on or like doing things that to help us succeed in your absence.
Hmm.
Right?
Well, what do you think Joe should be doing this year?
Working on, hey, this is how you get this guy out. This is the, let's go over this film together. Like a junior pitching coach, if you will.
Yeah, helping the young guys, like Roki Sasee.
Yeah, helping Roki get his feet wet.
Would you want me just writing you out notes on how
things
to
say? You would try to
somehow
do
it. I feel like that would grow old quickly, Woods.
Paul, you got to get this guy the hell out of here. I'm going to lose my mind. I don't need you here. I do not need you here. Yeah, pointing at it. It just says Aztecs on it. Okay, I'll get to it. I swear, I'll get to it. Holy crap. That is fantastic. Fantastic. No, I don't know. I mean, Joe's a team guy. You know that. So I'm assuming he's going to want to be around the team as much as he can. But
certainly has an open invitation if he wants to join the show all year long.
Co-host.
Yeah, as often as he likes.
It's actually not a terrible idea to have Joe come in and
cover
and
the Padres,
do some radio.
The year of Joe.
Yeah, that would actually be a really good idea. Let's run it up the flagpole.
Extend that invitation.
I'm sure it'll be greeted with warmly.
Hey, we just wanted to keep you busy this year, so we're putting you with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, for the year.
Go to do the radio in the morning, go do your rehab.
And then you're done.
Paul will send you the rundown. We need you there at about 5 a.m.
I'm texting him. I'm like, hey, can you talk about this, right? I'm not really comfortable talking about it. Yeah, I'd love to have him. It would be so fun to have him come in and shoot the breeze.
That would be fun to have him in just for a morning.
Yeah, just have him in.
I wonder if we can do. It's weird. Like, a lot of times when you're on, like, the injured list for a year, especially, like, a long time injured, they're like, do not bother the player. They don't do a lot of interviews or anything like that. But you never know. I think if anybody was down to do it, it would be Joe.
I think so, too. Yeah, I'm going to miss him, man. I'm going to miss watching him throw. He was really throwing well last year when he came back. So it's a bummer. And yet, you know, more innings you're going to have to replace. And so far, nothing yet.
Nothing yet.
Nothing under the
nothing
tree
yet. Although you did have a you had a big addition to the family yesterday.
Did. Yeah, big day.
Let everybody know about that after a check of traffic here on Ben and Woods and Paul and Joe on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. If Joe said he'd do it but wanted top billing, Joe and Ben and Woods.
No problem.
We're both okay with that?
100%. Right. He deserves top billing.
The offer is there.
Who are we?
Joe, if you want top billing to come and host with us for a
Joe
year.
Joe and Ben and Woods.
Yeah. Joe and Ben and Woods.
It rolls off the tongue.
All right. Tell everybody about the new familial edition yesterday.
We got the van yesterday, the old Sprinter van. They delivered it yesterday.
I thought you got a new cat.
No. We decided not to get the cat.
Oh, you didn't get the cat.
What did you think I said earlier?
I said, I know you had the van, but I thought you also got a new cat.
No.
You decided against the new cat?
Yeah, we did.
Eight is enough, or however many?
We have three right now. Hannah wants another one. She has a great name for it, by the way.
Oh.
Turn your mics off. I'll tell you guys.
Oh!
Yeah! So, I don't want anybody to steal it.
Yeah, you definitely need to keep that secret.
So good.
You actually use that.
Yeah, so good. So, we're on the hunt right now, but...
But you did get your Sprinter van.
We got the van delivered.
Didn't
yesterday.
Have to drive up to LA to pick it up.
Nope. They brought it down to us. It's all fixed up. I will tell you, it is it's daunting. The old Ben bus.
Have you christened it yet?
We did not.
What do you mean, like take it out for a drive?
I mean, smashing a bottle of champagne on it, of course. What did you think I meant?
I thought about it because we had some time yesterday, but my wife was so excited to get it that all she wanted to do was start doing things to it. Now, it's pretty daunting, right? It's basically a home on wheels. And when you get it, it's not just as easy as like, let's load up the van. There's pumps and there's there's buttons and all kinds of stuff. I actually went to Google yesterday and Googled this. We got our Sprinter van. Now what? Swear to God. We got our van.
Like some sort of self-help video?
What I needed was, okay, I needed the most elementary, okay, you got your van, day one, here's what you want to do. You want to fill this water tank with fresh water. Here's how you do it. You want to make sure that this button's pushed. Run this amount of time. I'm telling you, I took the manual out. I started reading and I went, oh my God, we're dead. And then you got to remember who I'm married to. The list of things that she wants to add to this almost immediately. I looked at her yesterday. I go, look.
Disco ball.
All kinds of stuff, dude. Running lights, like a spare tire, a ladder, this whole thing. And I looked at her and I go, look, babe, we're not going anywhere. It's not like we have it. It's ours. We don't have to get this all done today. Now, she always yells at me for procrastinating, but what I didn't want to do is try to figure out the entire thing yesterday. We can ease into this thing a little bit, but we did take the kids out for a little drive last night, looked at some Christmas lights and stuff. It's pretty badass. It has a bathroom. It's got a refrigerator.
It has a bathroom.
Yeah, it's got a bathroom.
Really?
Shower. Yeah, the whole
what?
Thing. Yeah.
Wait, I mean, it's not an RV.
It's a Sprinter van.
It's a van.
It's a big ass.
So how's the bathroom work? Do you have to?
Oh, it's small.
Well, obviously, but yeah. I mean, do you have to then empty it?
Yeah, you have to empty the tank. I have a rule. I said no one ever goes to the bathroom in this, ever. If we're driving somewhere and somebody has to go to the bathroom, we'll just pull over.
Right?
Like, and especially not a deuce. That's never happening. Ever, ever, ever in that van. Never. And so
it's a bathroom that is no one is ever allowed to use.
But we could shower in it.
You're allowed to shower, but not go to the bathroom.
Correct.
In your bathroom.
Correct.
But on a long road trip, the kids have to go.
We pull over to Bucky's, and they go.
It's just there.
It's there.
What happens if you did go? Is there a tank?
There's a tank. Yeah, there's
a tank.
You have to empty it all. And trust me, I'm learning as I go here. It's very, very involved. Very involved.
With Cousin Eddie into the sewer.
It's nicer than Cousin Eddie's. But the thing is, the idea is the same. You do have to empty those. And I've talked to many.
Crapper's full.
Yeah, I've talked to many bands that said, oh, yeah, number one is fine on a van. Number two, it does not happen. If you're a band and you're going cross country, it's like, we have this big tour bus. You don't do it on that, ever. It's just not something acceptable. Because then, think about it.
I don't want to think about two.
No, but think about it. You know, everybody's there and wafting and all of it. Like, it just doesn't. And then you have to empty it and clean it. Forget it. So I told Hannah, I'd rather them go in their pants than have to do that tank.
Is it like a separate shower, like, or is it the same room?
It's all the same.
It just,
you like
folds move,
you like
in,
fold
or
the toilet up, and then there's a hose. I mean, it's tiny. It's to rinse off, maybe.
Okay.
You know, if you go to the beach or something, you can rinse off. But there's also an outdoor hose.
This isn't a spa or something.
No, no. It's really, but it's so nice and cool. And it's fun, man. It's kind of scary to
refrigerator?
Drive.
Refrigerator?
Yeah. Little fridge.
Little fridge.
And a microwave. Bo goes, we can make all kinds. He goes, we can make steak. And I go, how are you going to make, you can heat up steak in the microwave, but we're not cooking steak in there. But it's pretty dope.
Heat up your trout.
Yeah, all of our trout that we catch as we're camping on the side of the Idaho River. You know us. I told her, I go, you know we're going to go to Vegas and you're going to never want to go anywhere again. Probably going to get one road trip out of it. But the thing is who I'm married to, my wife around the house doesn't like, don't put your hands on the walls. Don't do this. Don't do that. So it was already, it's just a new vessel for rules. That's all it is. It's a new rule vessel that we acquired to drive around. So there's all these rules. Don't touch this. Don't do that. Do not touch this. Don't do this. And I told her last night, I go, I fear I'm not going to enjoy this as much as I should because you're ruining the experience for me right now. So she didn't take too kindly to that.
I did notice that you attached a Ben and Woods sticker.
Yeah, it's the Ben Buzz.
Onto the Sprinter.
Right in the front.
See, now, if I had a new car, I would not put any bumper stickers or stickers on, at least for a while.
Well, you don't ride for the brand like I do, so it's okay.
Just worry about damaging
the resale value.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
We're fine. We're not going to do. You know, you can make the back out into a bed. I think, and I don't. Here's the thing. Maybe somebody can answer this question for me. So we're driving the kids to Vegas in March, right? In the van.
Still doing that.
Yeah. Do I make the bed out and they can lay there? That doesn't feel very safe. If they're laying in a bed, they're six.
Still have to have seat belts on when they're driving.
Well, that's the thing is, if you lay the bed out, you don't. There's no seat belt that can strap. I'm not going to tie them to the bed. So I guess we have to be strapped in.
I would think, yes.
The rules still apply. Yes. Right.
It's funny, we grew up, there were no rules.
No, you could ride in the back. I used to ride in the back of my mom's Cutlass, like in the where the windshield met that big ledge. I would sleep there
right.
when I was a kid.
There are cars, you could sit backwards.
So somebody's asking, is it an RV or a converted transit van? I don't know. It's a Sprinter van. It's like an Airstream body with a Mercedes engine is what it is. It's badass, though, and it drives really well. But yeah, I think, yes, I have to have the kids strapped in. So in their mind, they're like, oh, this will be great. We can sprawl out here in the back for 6 hours. No, you're going
to
be sitting.
Taylor's still young enough. He has to be in a car seat, right?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Do I have to put a car seat back there?
Yeah, I would think so.
This is going to look great.
Is Bo out of all of his car seats?
No,
still
he's in a
booster.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, can't do it. Everyone's telling me, all right, yeah. Now people are saying they don't have to be strapped in. I think I'd feel safer if they were strapped in. I don't want them flying around loose in the car something happens.
I mean, putting a lot of padding and everything.
Yeah, there's padding.
That's helpful.
But it's pretty sick. I wonder, she drove them to school in it today. I think this is going to become her everyday car. I really do. I think she's going to drive it.
Not fuel efficient.
Correct. But she doesn't drive a ton. So I do think this is going to be her every...
You think like in the drop-off, everyone liked having to be behind a Sprinter van?
That's what I said. So just so you know... Last night, before we went to look at Christmas lights, we drove to school and we parked in our spot just to make sure that it
fit
and it wouldn't get scratched up by the trees. Man, it fit. So, yeah, we got it. She will not let me take it to fantasy camp or spring training. I've already asked.
Cool.
So don't get your hopes up there. But
that would have been fun.
Pretty sick. It's pretty sick. Yeah, we'd have a great time. So, yeah, the Ben bus is here. Very excited. We did not christen it yet. Maybe get to that this afternoon.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Do you need a bottle of champagne to help?
No. No. Nope.
When your ships come in.
It's easy to grin when your ships come in and you've got the stock market beat.
When the Ben bus is a rockin'.
Don't come knock. Yeah, she wants to put stickers all over it.
Oh, we're talking
all the places we go and all that bit.
So you want to turn it into like a VW
Cheetah
van.
I have no say.
Like a Sprinter van crossed with a 60s VW bus.
All I do is share in the expense and also probably won't get to drive it much. So it's going to be fun.
Unless it needs to be refueled or washed.
Right, exactly. Or the tank's empty. She has assigned me to learn how to do the tanks.
More than happy to let you take it in those instances.
It's big, dude. It is big. No, it's brand new. Dan just asked me if it was brand new. Yeah, brand new. No, I didn't say. I said Ben bus. It's the Ben bus. That's what we call it.
I have not been in it yet.
No.
At some point.
You probably never will, to be honest.
I'm not even allowed in the Ben bus.
You've never been to my house. You come to the front door.
No, you don't accept visitors.
No. No visitors allowed.
I did get half of a tour once.
You did?
When
half
you
a
first
tour.
Moved in.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Not a full tour.
I've never been over since.
Half tour. Been your driveway a number of times.
Many times.
Picked you up.
Yep.
Dropped you off. But rarely do I get to cross the threshold.
No, I mean, I'm excited for it. I won't get to use it much, but it's exciting. The kids were very stoked when they got home from school yesterday to see it. They love it. They love it. So you think about all the trips we're going to be doing, going to baseball tournaments and whatnot. Like, it just makes sense. So just got to find all the right things to equip it, you know, and put the – we're going to need storage and the ladder and all that stuff is a necessity. But it's an undertaking, to be sure.
All right, that is it for us. We will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Talk about the Aztecs game tonight against 7:30, tip-off on FS1. Annie and Elston are coming up next for executive producer Paul Reindl and Stephen Woods, owner of the Ben Bus. I am Ben Higgins. Thanks for joining us on Ben and Woods, or Joe and Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.